darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, everybody. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Abe Hamilton, and very honored to be doing so. We have one of the most significant shows that I think you're going to hear in many a day, and it's about free expression and how our thoughts increasingly are being controlled as our speech is being censored. We've got a very important guest that I want to bring up in just a moment, but I want to take you back to 1987. Many of you may remember President Reagan, June 12, 1987. Reagan was giving a speech near the Brandenburg Gate, and he gave a cry, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." And it was the wall that had separated East and West Berlin since 1961. And it really became a cultural moment. I well remember that. I was in college, and Reagan was shown on news feeds just endlessly, tear down this wall. But we have an equally courageous guest, I believe, Janice Trey. And she is crying out, tear down this firewall, the digital Berlin Wall of the 21st century that really blocks what people in China are allowed to know about and read about. And there's a lot we could say, but we're going to talk about censorship and viewpoint discrimination in the 21st century internet world. Janice Trey is the board chair of the Epoch Times and NTD Television out of New York City. She's an expert on big tech censorship and just the free communication throughout the world and U.S.-China policy. And she has an incredible life story herself. But Ms. Trey, it's a great honor to have you with us here tonight on the American Family Radio Network. I welcome you.
Thank you, Alex, for having me on your program.
So there's a lot that I want to get into about world events and the age in which we live, but I want to hear your story. If you would, tell us your journey from China to being a leading voice for freedom in the West.
Yeah, I was born and raised in the forced labor camp in China during Cultural Revolutions, simply because my parents were college graduate engineers. We were sent to very, very remote area. I was a child labor, first grade, second grade, third grade, carrying fertilizers up to the top of the hill to grow the sugar cane that financed the school. And during harvest season, I pick crops from the crop field, walk hours every day after school. If I could not fill up a full bag of crops picked from the field because they use hand tools, so some crop drop on the field, I could not return to school. And that was my childhood. The school was more than 1 hour walking by foot. Walk past crop field, cemetery, up the hill, school was on the other side. And the turning point for me was my father did not have a chance to learn Christianity. As an engineer, he knows Einstein believes in God. And so he sent me to Hong Kong to study at a Christian school. My grandfather was a successful banker. He owned a bank, but was robbed by the Chinese Communist Party, and he fled to Hong Kong. And so I had my first chance to learn Christianity was in Hong Kong. And at that time, I compared the textbook of Hong Kong, China, and mainland China was Taiwan, all three locations with distinctively different stories on the same historical periods. And that was my eye opening of like which versions was the true versions.
Right.
And 1989 was the turning point. My best friend was in medical school. in Beijing, and he personally carried dozens of bodies, heavily injured and dead bodies of students. And that triggered me to apply for colleges in the United States. And I came as a teenager by myself, not knowing anybody in the United States. And I'm very grateful. My host family, Rhonda and Randy Goss, really took good care of me. And I study accounting, and my mentor at church told me to go for the best program, where I landed at the University of Texas. And so I finished my undergraduate and graduate program without any advanced placement from high school because I couldn't take any of those. And while working 2 to 3 part-time jobs to finance my schooling. But America is the land of freedoms. Yes. And I was very, very fortunate that to breathe the free air, that the opportunities was just abundant. And so my mission has been to give a voice to the voiceless, because I could have been killed in the Cultural Revolutions. I could have been killed during the Tiananmen Square Massacre, June 4th, 1989, and I could have been killed through the persecution of Falun Gong and other religious faith in China. The fact that I am alive today in front of you, Alex, and the audience, I have a responsibility to bring true freedoms. We all believe that we were created by God, and how could people be deprived the basic opportunity to have faith?
You know, Janice, your story is amazing. In my mind, I'm just picturing you as a child harvesting sugarcane and being forced to do such hard labor, and yet I look at what God has done in your life and what you have done through your work and diligence. As a child, even in the forced labor camps of communism, did you have a sense, even back then, that God was with you and that God had a plan for your life?
I was fortunate enough to receive paper in the balloons from Taiwan. And he talked about there was, we don't ride on bicycles, we have cars, we have refrigerators, have televisions. I asked my parents, what's refrigerator? It did not exist. And there was only one television set in the entire labor camp. And there were only 2 occasions we ever watched. And that was Mao Zedong and Zhou Enlai's funeral. Everybody stood in front of the TV wearing something black. I didn't have a black dress or black thing. So we have to tear a piece of, cut a piece of black cloth to wrap around the shoulder. And so my affiliation of television was funerals. It was only when I went to Hong Kong that, wow, there were cartoons, there were news, and there were so many things that television can communicate. And it was a really, really special when I went to Hong Kong, you know, sing hymns. Sure. and all that. And that's, versus compared to Cultural Revolutions, the only song you can sing were lyrics that changed to praising Mao Zedong as the rising sun, and no classical music, no Beethoven, no Mozart, like none of that. And so that's the systematic control of the Chinese Communist Party, trying to eliminate culture, eliminate classical culture, not only the classical Chinese culture in China, but also any classics, because the enforcement on like atheism. So I would say there was no idea, but I have like multiple narrow escape in terms of life-death situations. I felt like God was taking care of me. One time was like a landslide, and we just passed, and the rocks came right behind us and could have died. And then another situation, there was only one car for the whole labor camp. There was a military car, and there was no sitting. It was like everybody stood at the back and like riding, you know, on it, which was just it was like kind of open truck types, and you stood right at the back, and my dad almost died in when there was a tree that the branch was like flipping over. And so in some way I felt like that the fact that I exist, God must have giving me the chance, and I do appreciate, and then I also appreciate anyone that I encounter out of 8 billion people, whether you're an audience or whether with Alex being the interviewer. God has put us together, and
indeed. I've got to ask you, as you came to America and you experienced not only the freedom but the prosperity, at what point did you realize that there is a powerful movement on the left to take us away from constitutional freedom to socialism / Marxism / and I've seen this, Janice, on 200 university campuses where I've spoken, overt communism, American academics, and many students that are very impressionable, professors that want us to become communistic. When did that realization that there's a struggle in America, when did that realization come to you?
It was very apparent in my child's, my son's upbringing. I was shocked at the school forced him to read New York Times. Even at the at like middle school and high school, I say delete it. They say cannot, mom, I cannot delete it. That was school put it in. I have no choice of like unsubscribed. And I would say I see the shadows, you know, when there were like destruction of like historical statues and all those like chaos created, that was like a playback, kind of like a replay of like a movie about the Cultural Revolutions. It was just like changing the location and changing the scenes. Certainly, was very obvious during the COVID times. And why do they shut down everything? And like, you can go to large grocery store or big you know, electronic store, but you cannot go to church. Like, there is a suppression of freedom. And with my son's growing up, he likes debate, and he found that the debate topics were so left. And he finally gave up, and so he changed to speech. So he has a chance to pick topics that he liked to speak rather than being forced. And he also find bias in terms of who win the speech contests. Many of the judges were biased in terms of trying to promote certain ideologies, and even though the winner might not be the one that have the best presentation skills. So I feel very important to speak up. Give me an example. The 9 commentaries of the Chinese Communist Party that was published 21 years ago by the Epoch Times shows how China systematically brainwash people's minds. And it's like a playback. And then that book alone has triggered, you know, 400 some million people withdrew from the Chinese Communist Parties and affiliated organizations. And then the second book the specter of communism ruling the world, showing how communism, using different name, infiltrated into education, legal systems, you know, everywhere.
Janice, if you would, hold that thought. We've got a break, folks. The voice you're hearing is Janice Trey of the Epoch Times. We're talking about saving America from communism and the encroachment that may be farther along than you realize. The Hamilton Corner is back after this. Don't go away.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll hear about the International Olympic Committee's decision to ban biological men from women's events. Doreen Denny with Concerned Women for America will be our guest.
And now we're having to come full circle again to getting to the place of not only having a policy that says women's sports are for women only, but also having to verify that female athletes are indeed female.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here sitting in for Abe Hamilton, and we're talking, gleaning from the wisdom of Janice Trey, CEO of the Epoch Times, a person who has distinguished herself in many, many ways. And before the break, she was talking about in China, as communism came, the purge of the classics. And Ms. Trey mentioned during COVID, tearing down of historical statues. You know, it's been my privilege for 10 years to teach political science at the college and grad levels. And I remember one of the very first statues torn down during COVID was in California, John Greenleaf Whittier. And that's interesting because Whittier was a Quaker minister, and he was an abolitionist. He was against slavery. And John Greenleaf Whittier, and there's a town named for him, Whittier, California, he convened the first anti-slavery conference ever held in America. And he was very instrumental in helping abolish slavery. So it was a puzzlement to me that the woke left, all about social justice, human rights, would, one of the very first statues they tore down was a man that legitimately did promote human rights and social justice, a Christian minister who was an abolitionist. But such is the case when there's a cultural purge. We'll talk more about this and the state of our world and which future we might pursue with Janice Trey, our guest tonight on the Hamilton Corner. Welcome back, Ms. Trey, and thank you so much for making time to be with us.
Thank you, Alex. You bring out a very critical point. Let me give you an analogy. How the Chinese Communist Party systematically eradicate culture, take Chinese characters, have 5,000 years civilizations and histories. There's no reasons to change the characters, but how Chinese Communist Party change it. For example, the word love was literally written as under the roof, there are people intervening, and in between the roof and the people, there was a heart. And what Chinese Communist Party did was remove the heart. So there's the roof, there are people, but there's no heart. What's love without the heart? I give you another example, the word progress. It was written, you know, in the historic text for 5,000 years. It's a boat that takes you to better places. That's progress. Under communist rules, it was written as a boat that takes you to a well. A well is the dead end. You have like very limited views. Imagine you are at the bottom of the well, all you could see a limit. That's essentially what Communist Party want you to hear and see, only limited views of what they're trying to impose on you. So the destruction of the historic figures, regardless what the history of those historic figures, but that's part of history. And we should learn from, good or bad, those are things that we should learn from. There's no reason to erase histories. And if someone attempted to erase history, that means they have something to hide. Just like the internet, you know, why not let Chinese people, billion people, they are capable to go online and search the World Wide Web and then see what's going on. But in China, there was censorship. So if in a Chinese version of the browsers, if you enter, you know, say Falun Gong, you actually get an anti-Falun Gong. If you enter Dalai Lama, you get an anti-Dalai Lama. Why? You know, let people judge, because the systematic persecution on Falun Gong, which based on truth, compassion, forbearance, and that's the universal values that's welcome in 170 countries around the world. And the United States has passed multiple resolutions, you know, respect Falun Gong and honor Falun Gong. And the founder has been nominated for Nobel Peace Prize for multiple times. Why not let people choose what they believe? Mm-hmm. That's the illumination. Like at the background, you see the Shen Yun calendar, and Shen Yun Performing Arts present China before communism, 5,000 years civilization in 2 hours, 15 minutes, with a world-class classical Chinese dance, with a live orchestra, integrated Guan Tu, a Western symphony with the unique Chinese musical instruments. And it's like a movie, a dance, and an orchestra, all three in one. But the Chinese Communist Party tried to sabotage. For example, earlier this year at Kennedy Center, in the opening night, you know, they had a bomb threat, you know, just trying to turn away ticket holders to come to see the shows, and put the dancers and the musicians in the cold. That was in February, you know, without, you know, warm clothing, because they were rehearsing and they didn't plan to have like very warm coats. And so it's just the harassment, you know. Sure. We all know that. There's like, if someone want to do a bomb, they're not going to give you a bomb threat. You know, they would just ignite the bomb, but the threat was just trying to stop people from going to see Shen Yun. And so it's so important. Like, in fact, in China, people will watch movie that's been censored. And there are people who know that if Communist Party trying to stop people, even stop politicians from coming to see Shen Yun, and trying to harass them and all that. And actually, they are in Australia, the member of parliaments, there's so many of those come, they said they could have a parliamentary meeting at the Shen Yun venue, because they show up to tell this Chinese consulates that this is a free country. We are not going to listen to your, telling us what to watch and what not to watch. And so I think what it really takes is courage to stand up and to find the truth. You know, what's the truth that's being hidden, and what's the agenda? Like what you talk about in America is the systematic infiltration. They use lawfare. There's the transnational repression using lawfare, and, you know, frivolous lawsuits. I give you an example where the Shen Yun campus was located. They tried to bribe the IRS agents to remove the nonprofit status, and, you know, the FBI, you know, agent. Wolf, and so they found out, and at the end it was charged the people who was doing criminal activities. And so that shows the extent, and it may come very invisibly, you know, through the various censorships, you know, through big tech and American companies. Sometimes we may not know that what we've been censored, you know, what have they suppressed us from viewing.
Let me ask you this. Do you know if any of the big tech like Google has tried to circumvent the digital firewall, or have they just been complicit with it?
The censorship, take an example with Epoch Times. I'm the board chair and I pass the baton on the CEO roads to my developed train successors. And during my CEO times, I have filed a official complaint with the Federal Trade Commissioner and showing how Google have removed Epoch Times from Google News. So if you're not a subscriber to the Epoch Times, you won't find articles. Every day, Epoch Times produce over 200 original articles, over 5,000 per month, but you couldn't find it. And so that's the level of censorship. I give you another example. Facebook in 2019, July 2019, we have like 9 million views, and actually we have like 60 million followers on Epoch Times and NED TV. But then they suppress it, and they even stop NED TV and Epoch Times from running advertisements. I mean, that's a pure discrimination. You know, Epoch Times and NED TV are American companies and founded by US citizens located in New York cities. And there's no reasons that we are not allowed to run advertisement, because it was growing about 17,000 new subscribers from the Facebook ads per month. And so they didn't want Epoch Times and NETV to grow faster. And so they suppressed that, and it's continued, you know.
Yeah, may I tell you something?
Yes.
Last year, well, for 27 years, I've organized a lot of worldview and apologetics and Christian conferences, and we've had a lot of great speakers. Last year, one of whom was Charlie Kirk, before he was shot, of Turning Point USA, a friend of mine. Facebook would not run our ads. We have bought ads for all sorts of events, and we had other speakers, other Christian speakers, but last year, Charlie Kirk was our biggest speaker. Facebook would not run the ad, and we went back and forth. We wasted a couple of months that we could have been promoting. Finally, they did let us run an ad for our speaker series, and we listed all of our speakers, but the one they would not let us list in our ad was Charlie Kirk. Even that. So it's there, isn't it?
It's I've been to many Turning Point events. I personally spoke to and met Charlie Kirk, and a few days before the murder, he was in South Korea. He was astonished to find out about the infiltration of the Chinese Communist Party in South Korea. And he wanted to speak up on that. I have friends who were with Charlie, multiple friends with Charlie at South Korea. And it's the systematic suppressions, as you know, people as famous as Charlie, but even every citizen. And also the communication tool. Let me give you an example. Recently, there were people in China using Signal, and somehow the Chinese Communist Party find a backdoor to crack, and people were detained, arrested because they have a Signal chat groups. And so it's very vulnerable. I mean, some of you may remember, I think back in 2021, when Parler was deplatformed overnight. And so big tech have a lot of dominance. I mean, overnight, you know, your the data center, the server, and also the app store all kick you out. And so just trying to you know, kind of like put a death clause, you know, on that. And that's why tools like SafeMeet, S-A-F-E-M-E-E-T, you know, it is a very, very powerful, secure communication tool end-to-end. It's its own server and own data center, and the encryptions will encrypt all the, you know, phone call, chat, video conferencing, file sharing, everything frame by frame in an encryption mode. So you can be assured that none of those information could be infiltrated or could be hacked. And the way they require a local key, so the contents will always stay with you only. The SaveMe company does not have it, and it does not use cell phone. So there's no location tracking because it's not about making money, unlike, say, WhatsApp's, they use phone number because they can track your location, they can put advertisements, and cell phone is very vulnerable for hacking. And so that's why SaveMe is a powerful tool to for people who want to communicate securely and safely. And I shared the SaveMe tool with Yako. His sister was human trafficked for 6 years. And mm-hmm. he spoke up about her sister was eventually free, and he did a lot. He does a lot of counseling for those victims of human trafficking. And even after they regain freedom, they are always afraid or being tracked. And so having the tools like SaveMe, you know, is a great solution. And anyone welcome to go to Apple Store, or Google Store, and just find SaveMe, or go to websites SaveMe.us and able to get the tools. It sounds simple, but think of like a single tool that combine phone call, chat, video conference, and file sharing in one single tool that also remove vulnerability when you're using different platforms and different tools.
You know, I want to ask you a question, and we'll have to come back on the other side of the break to do this justice. But the 2024 election, you know, it was Biden, then it wasn't Biden. And, you know, on a Thursday, Joe Biden, he basically said, there is no way I'm going to leave this race. And yet Sunday, he had left that race. And without winning any primaries, Kamala Harris, in very undemocratic fashion, was made the nominee. You know, we'll do this after the break. I want to get your thoughts on the election. And this is Alex McFarland. Janice Trey, before we take this commercial break, is there a website you would like to direct people to?
Yes. For subscriptions, go to the Epoch Times, E-P-O-C-H, epochtimes.com, and subscribe. And then to get the free platforms, SaveMe, SaveMeet.us, and you can download and use the secure communication tool. And in particular, for your medical records, anything private, you certainly don't want to leave in the hands of big tech.
Hold that thought. We're going to come back more with Janice Trey, the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland here. Glad you're listening. Stay tuned. A brief break and we'll return.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll hear about the International Olympic Committee's decision to ban biological men from women's events. Doreen Denny with Concerned Women for America will be our guest.
And now we're having to come full circle again to getting to the place of not only having a policy that says women's sports are for women only, but also having to verify that female athletes are indeed female.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on AFR.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. Before we resume our conversation with Janice Trey, I remind everybody we have a live show called Exploring the Word, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern, and then my own website, which is AlexMcFarland.com. We've got a great, great 26 of events all around the country, our summer youth camps growing every year. But also, if you would, twice I will be at The Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Western North Carolina, to do Bible prophecy studies, apologetics, God and country. We would love to have you there. Please, if you would, check out alexmcfarland.com. Well, I am just loving our conversation with Janice Trey and her amazing story, but also her challenge to that we need to value our freedom and be aware that the censorship and the religious discrimination and viewpoint suppression that is going on in China, it could grow here in America, and that we need to call President Trump to tell President Xi Jinping to tear down the digital firewall and bring genuine freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and religious freedom to China. Ms. Trey, I want to thank you for being with us, and really thank you for your diligence and your commitment, not only to journalism, but to Christ and to truth. You're quite an inspiration, and I thank you.
Thank you, Alex. And when I watch your episode about hope, I mean, it really resonates with me, because think of, like, if President Trump speaks, the persecuted Christians around the world will listen, and will listen with hopes. It's not only in U.S., but it's really around the world. And if you think of opportunities to end communism, this is probably the best time ever, you know, with a president who is courageous to speak up, and with the Secretary of State who has been unwelcome by the communist regimes during his senator tenure, and also with family Cuban backgrounds. There's actually no true freedoms until we end communism once and for all, because there is the threat from the nuclear power, from North Korea, and there's also Cuba is so close to the United States. You know, back then, the JFK stopped it, you know, the crisis, but, you know, bad actors can use Cuba as the staging place. And so only when we remove communism, which is antichrist, and then we have freedoms. You know, the Great Firewall in China doesn't only block the coal, it blocks solidarity. It cuts human from itself. It's only with moral leadership can reopen the channels that make humankind flourish. And, you know, we are all like brothers and sisters around the world. And regardless of color of the skins, background, I mean, United States citizens mostly are kind of from all walks of life. And that's our diversity, and that's our ancestors. And so we were only able to preserve freedom in America if we all speak up, and if we all support journalism that is traditional journalism that speak to the truth, that preserve traditions, and that gives hope, like the Epoch Times and NDTV. And it's also important that we have to preserve the God-given opportunity to be reconnected with the divines, you know, regardless of the label or naming, whether someone is Buddhist or Tibetans or Falun Gong practitioners or Catholics or Jewish, you know, it is really about our opportunity to look into faith and to be reconnected, you know, to the divine. And that is mission critical. And asking Xi Jinping to tear down the digital firewall is a very, very simple act. And Xi Jinping is handling power struggle inside China. His health conditions have been deteriorating. He needs U.S. more than U.S. needs China.
Sure.
The communist China. And President Trump or any of the cabinet secretaries or Congress can all ask Xi Jinping to tear down the firewall. Another thing that all of the viewers and listeners can do is call your U.S. senators to support Senate Bill 817 is the Falun Gong Protection Act. We specifically talk about forced organ harvesting, where people are being killed on demand for their organs. And that will be a strong message to China. And it has unanimously passed in the House, and then just waiting for Senate to pass. And so please call your senators on that. So Senate Bill 817, initiated by Senator Ted Cruz.
Wow. Do you know, is there a website about that bill that you're aware of?
So by search on the Senate Bill 187 will pop up the information. And another website that you can read more about is called DAFOH, Doctor Against Forced Organ Harvesting. They have tons of information. And for almost 20 years, the forced organ harvesting has been ongoing. People are being killed on demand. And when a regime will kill people on demand for their organs, they don't respect lives. No. So imagine they may not put the right match, tissue match. They will match the blood type, may not match the tissue type because they want to make money. So it's high risk for even patients to go to China to get the organ transplants. Many of those die, you know, soon afterwards. And so it is a important, I mean, life is most precious and nobody should be killed.
Of course. What concerns you more, the rise of communism or the rise of Sharia law here in America?
Oh, yes. It's, I don't take for granted the American freedoms, the constitutions, and also how America is founded. You know, they came from the Mayflower because they pursue religious freedoms. And if we let bad actors to infiltrate and stop us, you know, from, and I was actually was very surprised that, you know, in schools, you know, in many schools, you were not allowed to, you know, publicly pray or, you know, having the Ten Commandments, you know, now have some changes in some states. But, you know, this is a country that was founded on religious freedoms.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
All presidents, when they took the oath, you know, they have their hands on the Bibles. And, you know, in the money bill, in God we trust. But are we living that? Are we trying to, you know, help other people around the world, whether it's Chinese, you know, whether it's like the persecuted Christians, you know, in Nigeria or in China, or those who want to have faith, you know, like the Falun Gong practitioner in China, or the Christians in North Korea and or in Cuba, everywhere. And so it's our responsibility. I would say it's our job to honor God and to enable other people who are being persecuted to have the chance. Like as simple as take down the digital firewalls so that information, free flow of information, rather than in a totalitarian regimes like the Communist Party, is not only misinformation, it's disinformation, it's manipulation, so it's totally distorted pictures. And if we don't take actions, it's just like a cancer cells. It will only multiply and it will suffocate. And just like the COVID, you know, it could have contained inside China, but it was purposely let patients travel outside China and spread to the world. So we have to understand there's really in communist parties' minds, freedom, democracy do not coexist. That's why you remember in Hong Kong, it's like the umbrella movement or the white paper movements, they were being crushed. Why? Because the existence of Taiwan, a democratic society, and Hong Kong used to be a British colony with the freedoms. That is a stark contrast with the communist ideology and brainwashing propaganda about freedoms. And freedom is very precious, and we should all take our responsibility for our children and our grandchildren and for everybody.
Ms. Trey, I've got to ask you, has a thorough, comprehensive analysis of COVID been done? I mean, everything that was the, because frankly, I think it was really a dress rehearsal for global totalitarian control, really.
It was very sad. Epoch Times was the only media that put up the documentaries in the very early stage of COVID to show the origin of COVID, you know, Wuhan lab. And also because Epoch Times continue reporting, in fact, Epoch Times reported about a pandemic in China in December 2019, a few months before the rest of the world knew. We have received tons of thank you and appreciation letter from our readers who read Epoch Times on VPN, and while they traveled to China, they changed the return flights and were able to leave China before the lockdown. When their relatives and colleagues who were on the schedule, same return flights, who didn't make the change on the flights, they died of COVID in China. So timely information saved lives. I think it's still a, during COVID times, we have reporters on the ground in China. We don't just take the government statistics. We actually went to cemeteries, we went to funeral homes, we went to hospitals, we interviewed nurses, doctors, and when they got home, and so, you know, for security reasons. So we have tons and tons of information, but Epoch Times and NDTV were suppressed by the big tech. And so they put labels, you know, say that we were doing misinformation, disinformation, when we were simply telling the truth. So what you talk about, a dress rehearsal, I don't think most people are prepared for another pandemic. And I think we need to be prepared because our electric grid is very vulnerable for attacks, you know, with drones, most of the drones, you know, the largest market share of drones are produced by China. And with drones, you can easily carry poisons and drop it to reservoir, drop it over farmlands, you know, to poisons, you know, the food supplies. We live in a very vulnerable time. And that's why ending communism, ending information blockage, and that's where we have true transparencies. And that's when our lives have, you know, a better protections with rule of law rather than a totalitarian regimes that is not only ruling China, but using multiple methods, transnational repressions to force other countries and to infiltrates and basically using monetary tactics, you know, to influence many media out there. So I would ask the viewers and the listeners to really think twice of what you may hear, because the truth, like what Epoch Times and NDTV have been reporting and oftentimes being suppressed. So subscribe so that you won't miss critical information. In fact, we report the SARS respiratory disease 3 weeks before Beijing admitted the pandemic, and Wall Street Journal acknowledged that. And so timely information could save lives.
Ms. Trey, thank you so much, and I appreciate that. And folks, I'm reminded of a quote by Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin said, "Everybody loves the fruits of freedom, but few are willing to tend the tree that bears the fruits." Remember, preserving America, it's all of our privilege and duty. Pray for God and country. Thanks for listening. Blessings today and in the new year. Be bold. Stand for truth.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.